edition of the Jay Willie Show. I'm your host, Mark Jerome. And of course, the other gentleman that we'll be talking to most of the night is Jason Williford with YB as our DJ. YB, kick us, take us away. Let's get it going.
All right.
After this.
Thank you, YB, for that.
YB, thank you. I'm still missing the. Was that another yet rendition of the Jay Willie theme song, or that was just?
Nope. Okay. No more. Just a creative one. We only have one. That was not it. Okay. I mean, I could have played it, but I thought might want to hear something different. You know, I don't know. Jay Willie theme song is incredible. Yes, it is. But I don't know if you want to hear it every time that we go. But yeah, nonetheless.
No, I like to hear it every time. I like that. I like the first one, the first Jay Willie theme song.
Okay,
I like
there it is.
Going in and out.
That's what we'll do going forward.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let me get this out. Meanwhile, y'all can check me out on YB Wednesdays. Wednesday, 7 o'clock this week, I'm playing all Virginia artists. It's going to be great.
Wow. Thank you, YB. All Virginia artists.
All Virginia artists. A smorgasbord of gumbo, of different types of music. There'll be a lot of surprises, people that y'all had no idea was from Virginia.
Okay, can you give us an indication of a few people that are from Virginia?
Sure. Did you know? Okay, we got the great Pearl Bailey. We have Missy Elliott. We have Chris Brown. We have Ella Fitzgerald. We have Elliot Yameen from the American Idol. I can keep going. We have Bruce Hornsby. We have the Dave Matthews Band. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be a smorgasbord of good music.
Sounds like a great show, folks. Check out YB Wednesdays. YB will be playing local heroes, local great talented musicians. All right. Before we get into the show, are we ready for the VIP package? Joey Hoops opening his mail.
Congrats on your new contract. We wanted to wish you a happy holiday. We're also making the company help put together each bag included in this package is equal to 1 month of our all access box. Thank you again for helping us launch and all the support we've gotten from you. Happy holidays, locker room access. Shirts here. Ralph's house, we got Catman, Virginia Supreme logo, last but not least, some shorts, Virginia National Champs, and long sleeve. All right, there we go.
Thanks, Joey Hoops. That was a package we sent to him a couple of days ago that he received, part of our VIP program. Jay Willie, it's my understanding that you received the package as well.
I sure did. I got this, I don't know, man, between FedEx or UPS or whoever sent this, it was a little banged up, but I was looking forward to opening this. Let's see what we got here. It was quite the surprise, but they're gonna have to treat my gear a little kinder. Little locker room access.
I like the bag.
The bag, I like it. This is this looks like a Rouse House shirt. Can you guys see that? Rouse House, not bad. Uh-oh, reigning champs. defense, Dick Bennett, a couple other packages in here. Let's open it up. A visor.
Oh, I like that. I've never seen that.
I appreciate the love. I appreciate the love. That's got like a little, is that like a Final Four theme with that those colors?
Yep. I think that's been a hot shirt that's been selling pretty well and they've become a favorite.
The Minneapolis background. And then nice hoodie. I'm digging it.
Yeah.
But doesn't get much better than that.
No. So that's part of our VIP package program where you join and you are sent items, mystery items, monthly. I get used to that too, J-Dubs.
I like the visor. I'm going to do this. When I get back out on the golf course, this is what I'm going
to
wear.
I was just getting ready to say, by the way, did we talk about you playing golf with Ty? Have we spoken about that yet?
Yeah, he can't. He sucks. we were working on his swing before he left, but when we get in the off season, we'll get back out there.
You know, he's as stingy as with a compliment as typically Tony Bennett's defenses are, giving up points. However, he did say Jay Willie can play golf.
I can hit it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
It's like there's something else in the package that you know. Yeah,
hold on. There's a letter. Let me see. Purple envelope. Aha. I got a, I don't know if you guys can see that. Let me open that up.
Looks like a basketball card.
This is a, wow. A Tony Bennett.
Oh, wow.
And a Ty Jerome basketball card. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Those cards are actually worth a lot of money now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm holding on to this.
I'm not saying those two cards are worth a lot of money, but the cards, at least the Ty Jerome, you might be able to get $1.50 for it. They really are. Some of them, I think, you know, you get a Zion Williamson card or some of the other rookies, DeAndre, Ty, Kyle Guy. Those are worth big dough now.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yep. Okay. Yep. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah. It's nice to get packages with different gear.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My oldest will be happy when he start wearing the same size as me. He keeps asking for all my shoes. So he'll be able to take my gear.
What's the gear like this year that you guys are receiving from Nike?
So we got, this is actually new. I don't know if anybody can see the new logo. Let me see if I can adjust this. It's a nice half zip. Gear's pretty nice. Everything's got Elite on it now, so I like that. I swapped out all my old gear for everything that says Elite. And the only time you get Elite is if you go to a Final Four or you win a national championship. So I'm digging all the Elite gear.
Congratulations again, of course, on that. All right, Coach. Let's get to the weekend.
Uh-oh. Do we have
one
to?
One and one.
Yeah.
Right? Good, great first win.
Yep.
Let's talk about the first game. Any surprises? Anything that you saw that you liked, you didn't like?
We liked our offensive production in that first game. We shot the ball really well. You know, obviously, folks have seen we're trying to do something different offensively. And I said it, I've been saying it to you, that we were ahead of schedule offensively and defensively, not so much. And offensively, we look really good. Sam and Trey both shot the ball well. Jay played well. I thought we had, you know, everybody contributed in that first game. But the start of the second half in that game gave us a little pause because we allowed them to score and get back in it, and we couldn't get stops. And so we as coaches, we know it. Shooting will come and go, but you got to be able to get stops when you need to get stops. And that was the unfortunate thing from a defensive standpoint, the second half of that first game. And then obviously, San Francisco, good San Francisco team, they you know, five guys that could shoot it. And they gave us some trouble with some bigs that could pick and pop and make threes, and we couldn't keep the ball out of the paint. So defensively, we nothing surprised us because we had seen this all preseason. But you know, you hate to come out of there 1-1. You like to be 2-0 coming home, and you know, learning from that with the win would have left a better taste in our mouths than splitting. But it's so early in the year. And it was almost as if these were scrimmages for us. We just, you know, with so many new pieces, the new offense, it was good to see where we were and what we need to work on and correct.
So you just mentioned the offense. What is the objective of the new offense? Is it called, what do you call it, by the way?
Yeah, it's more of a four out one in, four round one, where we're just trying to space the floor with our 3-point shooters, get some paint touches, and then kind of react. We're all reacting based on where the ball goes, and not so much dribble drive. I know people have seen that dribble drive. Kentucky runs a version of that. It's not that. It's just more of a motion type offense, but kind of play to our strengths. And this year, 3-point shooting is a strength, but our bigs are able to shoot. So we want to space them and give our guards an opportunity to touch the paint and play off of that. But you know, it's a work in progress, and we probably ran this past weekend, we probably ran 75 to 80% of our offense was that offense, and I'm not sure that that's a good mix. I think we're going to have to sprinkle in what we used to do in addition to that.
Right. So in the first game against Towson, right, you guys had several players who contributed. It may have been the first time that I can remember that I've been watching UVA, and I've been watching very closely the last 4 years, particularly, where three bigs led you guys in scoring.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, typically it's reversed, right? Where our guards are the ones that, yeah. No, but those are the guys that can shoot it. And those are the guys that can put the ball in the bucket. And obviously there'll be nights where our guards, you know, will get an opportunity. And Sam kind of is a tweener. He can go both guard or big. And Trey Murphy can do the same. Their versatility, we're kind of playing positionless basketball, to be honest.
Right, and it seems like that's what that new offense is.
Right,
and,
right.
And what you say it was, I don't think you mentioned what it was called.
We motion, it's just a motion offense.
Okay, so when Kihei comes up court and calls the offense out, he just says motion?
Yeah. Okay. And right. we're just getting it on.
Right, and so it seems like one of the other goals is to get low post or wing isolation.
Yeah, there's some opportunities to post up in it. And with those guys, you know, Sam in particular, that second game got us back with a couple mid-post opportunities where we, you know, he had that side of the floor to go to work. And so, yeah, it presents some opportunities to post and turn and face and play to their strength. We, as much as I love Jay, Jay's not a true back-to-the-basket big. And so even when he's posting, he's more comfortable facing. So it allows him to turn, face, play from about, 12 and in, where they can spin and can get to the middle of the floor, or go baseline. When Poppy's in, when Cafaro's in, it's a little different. He likes to post deeper. And so he's got more opportunity. And he didn't play much, but more opportunity. When he's closer to the lane.
I have about 5 questions based on what you just said, right? I don't even know where to start. When you talk about Sam, he got 4 buckets. He had 2 points until 7.5 or set late, 7:40 left in the game against San Francisco, posted up on that wing 3 or 4 times and ended up with 10 points and got some good buckets, right? I think he got 6 or 8 points out of that spot.
Right, right.
Do we anticipate seeing Kihei posting anymore?
Yeah, the way it's set, I mean, guards can post and bigs can post. It gives them a side of the floor and it allows them to create and get to the paint. And then we're all reacting from that penetration.
Right. Kihei did have one good move against Towson, I believe, going to the paint on that and right. Had shot a floater that went in and out.
How about that? We posted our smallest guy.
Yep. Now, you just mentioned Poppy. It didn't seem like UVA, you guys had a strong inside presence the first two games outside of Justin McCoy, who played very well.
Right.
Will we be seeing a little bit of Poppy down low?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the beauty of this year's team is there's a ton of depth. And unfortunately, with depth, you can't play them all. And unfortunately for him, this offense is more of a spread, space the floor, whereas he's more traditional big, back to the basket. So as we get deeper into the year, you know, and this is early for us. So as we get deeper into the year, there'll be more opportunity. And, you know, we keep telling those guys, just keep working. You never know when your number's going to get called. You just got to be ready. And I do anticipate him seeing some minutes and bringing some physicality and some low post opportunity.
We're two games in.
Right.
Right. There's a lot to be seen as long as there's a season.
Exactly right.
When you talk about the blocker mover, or sometimes called sides, mm-hmm. or often called sides, when the point guard calls the play out. In the second game, I don't think we scored out of that offense in any of the possessions we ran it.
Yeah, I think we got, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 2 or 4 points out of the 7 or 8 possessions we ran. But we ran predominantly motion. And I thought some of the shots that presented themselves within sides were decent. But I think had we just turned it over more, we would have gotten better shots. I think we were, because there was so much success offensively in the first game, we were just eager and antsy to get up quick shots, and we didn't turn stuff over, and we weren't patient offensively. And that's, you know, that's expected, but that's, you know, partly our fault as coaches. We got to do a better job of getting them to move the ball and not trying to score on the first or second pass.
The blocker mover is a really tough offense to run unless you have the personnel, right? And this is the first year, or last year was the first year that I can remember, where you didn't have a phenomenal athlete who could really shoot it coming off the screens, right? No Kyle Guy, which you had for 3 years, no Justin, no Malcolm, no Ty, no DeAndre. I'm missing some guy, no Joey, right?
Right.
And so who's going to be that guy that can really fly off those screens? When I'm watching the game, and I had the benefit of watching the game for a second time today, before the show earlier, and when you look at the athletes, Kyle is a phenomenal athlete coming off that screen who could just
both Kyle and Joe had an ability to fly off and catch square shoot, and there are very few people that can catch square and turn and shoot the way they both could do that. A lot of times guys need to get their feet set. But to move and shoot at the pace that they did, you're right. That offense requires that. I think Sam can do that, and we're still trying to figure out where he's best. You know, can he move? Does he screen? Does, you know, all of those things. And you know, Tom can do it. You know, and he's got to be consistent making shots. Casey can do it, but not to the level that obviously Joe and Kyle did. He's more of a come off and, you know, touch the paint, you know, try to curl and get to the rim off of those.
Right.
But yeah, you need a shooter that can fly off. And McCorkle in time will be that guy.
How quickly after the USF game do you watch film?
I watched it on the bus to the airport, watched it in the air, and watched it again the next day.
And what particularly on the defense did you see that needs correcting immediately? And can everything be solved this year? I know you've, in the previous show, in a prior show, you mentioned that the defense is just not ready yet. It's not there yet, which typically is the case. And Tony Bennett teams, just like another handful of coaches around the country, continue to get better as the season goes on, right? And I anticipate this team will have that, have that too.
Yeah, I think just a continuous effort defensively. I thought watching that, there was some breakdowns that aren't typical of Virginia defenses, where guys kind of got lost assignments, late to closeouts, getting the shooters, just a tad bit late in their vision and seeing where the ball was. And, you know, we had some trouble. They were slipping ball screens. You know, they would set them. They would touch and go. I mean, they did a little bit of everything. They rolled, they popped. And so it just takes you got to try to outlast. And in that particular game, I thought we gave in and we didn't work as hard as we need to. And that will change. And we'll be better. We'll be better for having gone through that.
Yep. I spoke with Todd Golden through text today, and we were talking about the game, and I told him I wouldn't talk about what he did, but mm-hmm. I did mention to him they did an awesome job of slipping that ball screen.
And listen, we know that. I mean, you know, teams know we hedge, and so sometimes they play to our aggression on those, but we've got to make the adjustment.
Right. So when they slip the ball screen, when the opposing team slips the ball screen, it sort of spreads the floor. The rotation on that becomes somewhat complicated. Is that something that you guys pick up as the season goes along?
Yeah, I think we played Justin McCoy, Caden Sedgwick, very little experience from last year. Reese Beekman, first two collegiate games. Trey Murphy, first time in the program. Cody Statman, not as much experience, a little. But we've got to be better in those adjustments, but we've got to be able to keep the ball in front. And so if teams do that, not so much rotation, it's just a matter of sitting down, guarding, keeping the ball in front, and then being in the right gap position.
Yeah, it seemed like there were more paint touches that USF got than I had remembered seeing in quite some time, which needs to change. Can't give up paint touches, right? We all know that.
Too many. And those guards were good. But again, I think we've got guys that are capable of keeping the ball in front. But it was a learning experience for those inexperienced and new guys. But it's also we'll improve and we'll continue to improve. We'll be better.
There were a few plays in particular when there was a pick and pop with the court being spread. Mm-hmm. Is Sam was isolated and would have had a one-on-two on defense. Mm-hmm. Is he supposed to rotate all the way over to the shooter, or is he supposed to sort of hedge between the shooter and the next pass?
If memory serves correct, you're talking about the three they got at the top of the key on the separate. Yep. Yeah, that was a difficult. It was probably more on whoever the five was, and I don't know if it was Jay or Kaden, but it should have been a hedging back.
Yep.
Sam's guy was cutting, so it was a harder stunt for him. But again, as we get better, you know, maybe we rotate, we switch, maybe, Jay gets back sooner. That one on film was, and that was a big basket for them at that point of the game. And where we're different this year without a Mamadi, without a Braxton, without a DeAndre, we're not able to switch as much as we have in the past. And so switching was always good for us when teams started to slip or ball screen and separate and touch and go, we could always, when they came together, we could switch stuff in emergencies. And so we're still working on that. We just don't have that type of defender right now at the 4 or 5 spot.
Yeah, that particular play was Jay, where I think Jay got caught on the wrong side. And if it's supposed to be a hedge and recover, it was going to be impossible for him to recover.
Right.
And the big hit the shot. And I think I'm pretty certain that was part of the 7-0 run or 8-0 run that USF went on that had memories of watching UMBC, right? We turned the ball over 3 times in a row, came up empty possessions, and they go on and score. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, come down court, Reese makes a great play. Kihei makes a great defensive play, gets fouled, hits 2 free throws, right back in the game. Then Justin McCoy makes a great layup.
Could have been an and one.
Yeah, could have been. I think that call go either way. But down one, play good defense. Mm-hmm. I think there were some questionable calls on both sides of the ball late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
There were some positions there I thought that UVA could have been called. We could have been called for some fouls too that didn't. And I think that those sort of, I guess, catch up with each other, the fouls, pretty much throughout the course of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Last play of the game, right?
Yep.
Call is, was there any discussion about potentially 3 or 4 different types of plays, or was TB going with that call no matter what?
No, we had options. It was, if he made all free throws, both free throws, we were going to run what we ran. If he missed, we were going to try to get to the rim. But if we couldn't get to the rim, we were going to run what we ran. So it was watching it on film, you know, I'm not sure Kihei was able to turn the corner. They were really playing, sagging off of him and using their length. And as much as, you know, we would have liked to get one at the rim, put pressure, make the refs call it or get one easy, I don't think he could have gotten there. And we end up getting a really good look. And, you know, we've seen Sam drain those in practice time after time. So, you know, you can always Monday morning quarterback it, but I thought Sam got a good look. For as bad as we played defensively and shots not falling, we still got an opportunity to win that game late. You know, credit to them kind of just hanging in there and trying to gut it out.
Yep. Sam comes off that screen. Great screen by Tom Wodotensai.
Yep.
Right. And Sam comes off that screen. I thought the play was fantastic. Right. But again, different late game situation. Not having a Kyle who could veer one way, fake one way, go the other way off to a screen or two, get the ball to DeAndre and get to the bucket. Do you see there being an issue with somebody who's the go-to guy at the end of a game and saying, we need you to go get a bucket?
I think it'll be different guys, different games, depending on matchups. I mean, I think we got guys that are capable of scoring, and it'll be situational. And you know, whatever matchup we think we got the best advantage.
Yep. Bright spots that I saw: Justin McCoy, Reese Beekman, Wodotensai played really well in the second half. When he was in there, hit a 3, hit a 2, had another drive for a great assist.
Yep.
Right. So, other bright spots.
I thought Caden Cedric was another bright spot. I thought he was active. He was a rim protector. He's gonna be fine. He's gonna keep coming. And I just think it's just getting those reps, him gaining that experience and that confidence. But he was a bright spot.
Yep. When you talk about, I think another bright spot was the starting unit on defense, both the first two games, right? The first game, I think Towson had 2 or 3 points in the first 7, 8, 9 minutes.
Right.
Right. He makes some subs. And it changes, the game changes a little bit. Same thing against USF. First 7 minutes, I think USF had 2 points, 3 points maybe, right. And then make some subs. And guys need reps, as you said. And I think that's what people don't understand. Some people don't understand. Like, you got to be able to get guys experience, right? And I think about, we don't always understand that as a fan. And I look back at a game 2 years ago against Maryland, when you guys were at Maryland and had a sizable lead, guys are playing well, make some subs, and next thing you know, a 15-point lead becomes a 6-point lead, and it's you're almost fighting a battle that you may or may not win to win the war down the road.
Yeah, and let's give the opponents some credit too. I mean, they're getting chewed out by the coach about playing better defense and executing better on offense. So it's a combination of, you know, maybe subbing, but the opponent steps up. San Francisco ran some great offense, and they ran it with pace, five shooters on the floor most of the time. That's a team that'll do some damage. And, you know, I know they lost a couple of games, but I mean, I'm looking at some of these scores early in the year. I mean, that's a good UMass Lowell team. I mean, they're at Ohio State the other day, and it's a close ball game to the very end. You know, I think San Francisco will do work in their league. You know, it's college basketball. It's early season college basketball. But yeah, I you know, the guys that come in have to come in with the same intensity that the starters play with. But it's guys gaining experience and getting better and having to go through that.
Right. And I think when you look at a game against Maryland on the road, just like that game Saturday against USF, you're doing a couple of things. You're getting guys, obviously, experience, right? For down the road when you have ACC play and hopefully tournament play, right? You're getting guys, you also put necessary, you might put the first team in a situation where now they've got to manage the game under pressure, right? And also you guys have to coach the game differently now as well. And so when you look at that Maryland game, perhaps that was proved extremely helpful down the stretch in your last three games against Purdue, Auburn, and Texas Tech, where guys are they know how to play under pressure.
Well, yeah, and you fall back on those experiences. Like, you know, I've been here, done that now. It's not, you know, it becomes old hat. Oh, okay, I remember in this situation, in this game, this time, this score, you know, I've got to be stronger with the ball. I've got, you know, we got to take it to the rim or whatever it is. We got to execute this set. And so, yeah, you gain valuable experience, or it's early in the year for later in the year.
How much of analytics will you guys review in terms of combinations?
I leave that to Tony and Johnny and those guys. They're the smart analytic guys on the staff. You look at it. You obviously look at what combinations are working, what's more efficient. But it's more, I know for me and mostly for Tone, it's eye test. Who's playing well, who's defending, what groups out there defending and getting stops. And, you know, the offensive production will speak for itself.
In the second half against USF, you guys had a group out there for several minutes that I was a little surprised at, but, you know, unfortunately, they were victims of circumstances. I think it was Cody Statman, Thomas Wotensai, Kihei, I want to say Trey, and I think it was Justin, and they played pretty good D. At one point, the guard got to the basket very easily, right? He hits a shot. The next play, Kihei's guarding the point guard very well, and he hits a shot at the buzzer.
Right.
Right. And then the third possession, three consecutive possessions, they benefited. The third possession was a foul late in the shot clock. Now that's going to show up on the data and analytics as this team probably shouldn't be on the court together. Right. And in truth, they hit a tough shot at the end of the buzzer, got a late foul. Yet it's going to look like maybe those guys shouldn't be on the court together and we might not see that lineup again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember that point in the game, but We played combinations that probably hadn't even practiced together as a five in that game. And, you know, when you get in a game like that, you just start searching and, you know, who can give you a lift. And at one point we needed some offense. And then in another stretch of that game, we needed dudes that could stop guys and who knew our defense and wouldn't break us down from a defensive standpoint. So, you know, you're always searching, but. Yeah, you know, sometimes the analytics don't see that it was a 2 seconds on the shot clock, threw it in, banked in a shot, which, you know, pretty good defense on your part. You're just unfortunate.
Right. Can we talk about Justin McCoy and Reese for a moment? How excited I love are you for them?
I think I said it on here before that Justin had a hell of a summer, hell of a preseason. He's one of our hardest workers, and he's getting what he's earned. I mean, he's put in the work. And Reese has just got tremendous feel for the game, and probably one of the smoothest players we've ever had. He's out there moving effortlessly on the floor, and in transition, he's really good, can finish. He's got long arms and really good anticipator defensively, gets his hands on balls and contests shots well because of his wingspan. Not surprised at what they were able to do, because they've shown that all preseason.
Right place, right time for Reese in the second half. But that's not luck, right? His IQ allows him to be in the right place at the right time.
He's got a tremendous feel. He knows the game. I mean, as a first year guy, he has a grasp of everything we're doing, both offensively and defensively. Now, the thing, he's got to get stronger, obviously, stuff that we're telling him he needs to do and improve on. But you give it to him once, he's got it. I mean, he's a lot like London and Ty in regards to the feel.
Yep. The only thing negative I could say about Reese, which he'll improve on probably immediately, is not always being so aggressive defensively, where he got beat off a couple of jab steps and he had to recover with using his hands, and had two fouls called against him. Other than that, he played a nearly flawless game.
No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
And Justin played exceptionally well. What was the reasoning behind Justin not starting in the second half against USF?
Yeah, I want to say we went with Reese for Justin because of how he had been playing. And we wanted defenders on the floor to start the second half with he, Casey, and Kihei, just to set the tone from a defensive standpoint.
Yep.
And it was more matchup than it was he was playing bad.
Yeah, sure, because he was playing great. And he came in, and I think he made a statement that said, okay, you don't want to start me? Now you're gonna end up starting me again because how well he played, minute played. Right, he offensively and defensively.
Right, and I think that's the thing with this group that they all have to understand. Because there's so much depth, you know, there may be guys that start one game, don't start another. Like, it becomes a matchup thing. They just got to be, if they can handle that, and that's a big if. You and I know guys all want to start, and they it means the world to them. But if they can handle just being ready when your number's called, regardless who the starters are, then I think we'll be fine. And, yeah. And depth's a good thing, but depth can also be a detriment to a team when you can't play everybody.
Right, and I think that's going to be could potentially be a struggle until you guys figure out the 7-8 man, maybe 9-man rotation.
Correct.
That's always going to be a challenge, and I got to believe that every practice is like an audition.
Right? Well, you know, Tony, you're getting critiqued every day, regardless of if you're a starter or not. I mean, Tone would talk about Ty till he was blue in the face every single day, practice, game. He's critiquing everything.
Yep, absolutely. Let's talk about Jay Huff for a moment. Two shots against USF.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Would you say he has to get up more shots for us to be successful?
I think Jay has to be more aggressive. I think Jay, but not only offensively aggressive, he's got to do it on the defensive end. He's got to slide his feet and hedge ball screens and play post D and rebound. Jay's got to be more assertive across the board, both offensively and defensively. And at times, you know, I think he's got to go in there and use his length and size and try to post some and not just settle behind the 3-point line. And right. those are things that are work in progress, and you know, we're addressing those in practice. But I think a lot of it is just him imposing his will on the game on both sides of the floor.
Phenomenal low post move against Towson.
Yeah.
Right. Great footwork. And then we didn't see that again. Right. I think he asked for the ball in the post one time against USF, but right. That's not who he is. He's not going to be a low post guy.
Yeah. Right. Now he's 100% more comfortable facing, yeah. But I think there are times when you can do both. You yeah. can post, you can score from the perimeter. You can go offensive rebound. Like you can put your imprint on the game in multiple ways. And I think it's who Jay is, and we've got to continue to stay on him about being assertive.
Incredibly skilled from a number of different positions. Does he have the opportunity or the option to take that last shot instead of passing to Sam?
Yeah, if it presents itself where he's wide open, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm asking specifically about that last play where he got the ball and said,
yeah, I think he did a wise thing by turning that one down because Sam came open and we wanted to get it to Sam. But yeah, if he's open and if he's banging shots and he's hot, absolutely. But I think he took one prior to that. That barely grazed the front iron. So he, you know, he was a little off his game, and I thought it was good to look for Sam.
Yep. As a coach, are you excited coming off a loss and saying I'm looking forward to fixing some of the things we have to solve?
I'm excited about we now have their attention. I'm not excited about losing, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
I would have rather gotten their attention with the win, but of course, being able to come back, learn from those mistakes, learn from that defeat, you know, is something we can grow on and move from. But never excited about losing. I want to win them all, but we do have their attention. We had two good days of practice leading up until this next one.
Good. While you're on the bench and the waning seconds are slipping away, are you thinking, I can't believe we might lose this game? Or if you're down by five to a team that you guys think you should beat and it's late and the waning seconds and you're not going to win, are you thinking, we're going to lose this game, I can't believe it? Or are you thinking that loss is a part of the sports?
Prior to UMBC, I would have told you I'm on the bench. Like, I can't believe we're about to lose this. But after UMBC, anything's possible. Right. And obviously, you go into games and there are expectations that you're supposed to win these games. These are games you can look at the schedule and say, we got a good chance of winning these games, right? But nothing anymore surprises me, and I can handle just about anything. Right. And there's some good mid to low major programs, especially that are older with seniors and juniors, those upperclassmen, that can play with anybody. And I remember being at both American and BU with some veteran teams, and we felt like we should have played with anybody in the country. And so I don't anymore. It's just part of it comes with it. I'm able to handle a loss as much as I'm able to handle a win.
Learning how to lose is a valuable component to coaching, right? And I still haven't learned it. And so when I watch TV, or I remember having a conversation with Coach Sanchez a couple of years ago, and I think UVA lost. I think it was 2016-27 season when suffered some losses. And I'm thinking, how could he be so okay after a loss? He's like, we win some, we lose some. That's just part of coaching. Right.
Well, he's always been able to, he has a perspective and an outlook on life that's amazing to me. It's like his priorities are in order. And I'm not that yours aren't, Mark, and mine aren't, but he totally keeps things in the grand scheme of things, the bigger picture. He's always looking at it that way. And yeah, it is. We always, when I first got here, we often talked about recruiting guys you could lose with first before you could win. And so losing is part of it. You know, can I lose with you before we win at a higher level? And if I can do that, then I know I can go to battle with you any day. And right. And so, yeah, as much as we want to win and as much as we won, losing is a part of that, and we grow and learn from that.
It had to be a lot easier to accept defeat at USF versus USF than it did from UMBC, where you could probably breathe, even though you're learning to lose better, but you could still breathe and say, okay, this isn't final. This right. is just one game.
Much easier to swallow. I told you after that, I mean, we lose a game. To me, that one was like the end of the world, Mark. I thought you could have taken out my soul after that one.
Yeah, I don't think I appeared to any of my friends for 3 days. So,
and listen, all the credit to them, they kicked our butt that day. They were a better team.
Right. Are you watching? How many other games are you watching?
I watched a ton of games. We were in the bubble. We were in Bubbleville. You couldn't do anything but go to your room, go to the gym. I mean, we were locked down. And so, yeah, I watched quite a few games.
Did you get a chance to see Villanova?
I watched Villanova. It's some good basketball being played. Watch Villanova. Virginia Tech beat them the other night. That was a heck of a game. Watch Rhode Island play. Watch Arizona State. Was Arizona State played Nova the first night. Some good basketball.
Yep.
The fighting Richie McKay's got a couple SEC wins. So they're playing good ball.
They are good. They are really good. We got a chance to see them play a couple of times, and they beat two strong SEC, fairly traditionally strong SEC teams. Right. And then they lost a close one the other day to TCU, I believe. But
Sorry, that's Max. That's the killer dog in the background. I know you guys can hear him.
I got a chance to see Virginia Tech and Villanova, two teams you're going to play.
Yeah.
Right? They both look really good.
Two good teams playing good ball early in the year. Again, guard heavy. Although it looks like Virginia Tech got a big kid that's pretty good. About 6'9", 6'10", that had a heck of a game. So, listen, there are no nights off in the ACC. We know that. But watch some. I told you I watched UMass Lowell play Ohio State close. Good basketball, man. Good. As long as we can keep getting these games in, man, the games have been very competitive.
Yep, you got a chance to see Villanova. You got a chance to see Virginia Tech. Two teams you're going to play. And did you see Michigan State play Notre Dame?
Saw a little bit of that. They put it on Notre Dame, but it looks like Notre Dame cut the lead. They were down.
It was over. They cut the lead. It was a 20-point game. Notre Dame got through some subs in. Michigan State threw subs in early. Notre Dame only has two guards. Those guys are going to be the Kihei Clarks of this year for Notre Dame.
Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't see all of that game, but I've been channel surfing. Watch yeah. St. Francis. We got St. Francis coming up. I watched them beat Pitt. That was a big win for them at Pitt. Played a ton of zone, so we got to get ready for some zone. So yeah, good basketball.
We'll come back to St. Francis in a moment. Michigan State looked really, really good.
Physical play. Hard, tough, typical Tom Izzo coach team.
Yep. They're skilled, they're athletic, they're big, and it looked like Notre Dame was trying to get some post ISOs, right, and could not convert at all. Michigan State was too big, too strong, too athletic for them. And they held, I think Notre Dame may have scored at 1.4 points in about 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Could not score. And it was a 20-point game, and they were, Michigan State was in complete control until Notre Dame, until they put in
some stuff. Are you trying to scare me, Mark? That game's too far down the road. I don't.
No, it's not that far down the road, Coach.
When is it?
It's not that far down the road. I think it's in 2, maybe 3 weeks.
I got St. Francis on the mind right now.
I understand that, but I'm worried about all of them. I look forward to all of them. I'm looking forward to that game, you know, where Sam gets to go against his brother. But they're a balanced team, and not trying to scare you. I'm really looking forward to how we play against them, because I think it's going to be a war, and I think we're really good, and I think they're really good. And I think
it'll be a contrast in styles, obviously, because I think where we're lacking so far in this early season is the physical toughness, grit. I thought we tried to play too much of a finesse, easy game, and that's not who we are. That is not Tony. He's always talking, you know, being blue collar. And I don't think we showed that against San Francisco. And if we don't pick that up, that level of intensity and toughness, and embrace the physical, Michigan State will put it on us the same way they got Notre Dame.
Yep, absolutely. They push the ball, and they have a slowdown offense. They've got an early offense. They've got a secondary offense, and they've got a half court set. Notre Dame tried to play them in zone, and they just completely shredded it.
Well, you won't see that from us, when it's Michigan State time, we'll have to be ready for that. And we know them. Tony knows them better than anybody. Brad on our staff knows them. We've gone up against that before, so we'll have to prepare right.
Are you concerned that any of the issues can't be solved?
No, I'm not. I think it's to me, the defense is just a willingness. It's an effort thing. It's coming out of your comfort zone. Playing defense the way we ask you to play is hard, and you got to embrace the hard. And they will.
Yep. Okay, let's move to St. Francis. Do we have an idea of who the starting lineup will be?
For them or for us?
For us.
I don't know.
Okay.
This could be every other game we're based on matchups.
Yep. And they seemed, I believe they have a power forward or a center who's supposed to be pretty good.
So they've got a center who's leading them to scoring. And then they've got some good guards. They've got, again, at that level, you win with good guard play, and they play primarily four guards. Their four man is about a 6'6". Kind of tweener forward, more three man than he is a power forward. So they're going to space the floor. They're going to ball screen and try to shoot threes, and they'll play some zone, some 2-3 zone. So we'll have to prepare. We'll be ready for that. But again, small ball offense. We'll see a lot of that early on, I think.
Okay. Got a question from Kyle, who wants to know who Noah LaRouche is. Is that the coach from St. Joe's who introduced that offense?
So Noah is a guy that has been an advisor helping with our motion offense, yes. It's a D3. We got it from a D3 program. A lot of smart D3 coaches out there, by the way. They break down the game, study the game, part of this for me, and I'm only speaking for me, is I wanted to see how this looked. You know, it's good running at the D3 level, but I wanted to see how it looked, going up against some true size and athleticism, and we're still trying to figure it out.
Where did you find Noah?
Tony found him. He's down in Florida. Tone and Johnny, I tell you, those are the brains behind all of this. They're the analytics, and they're always trying to improve our offense. Truth be told, Tone gets all the credit for pack line defense and in pack. But Tone, if he had it his way, he'd much rather be known as an offensive coach than a defensive coach.
Well, you know, a few shows ago when we had London on, right, we talked about if he were playing under the offense, that the flexible offense that right. Tony seems to be able to adjust now, that he would have loved to have played where Ty was able to run some ball screens.
If London had all of those ball screens, he would have been really good in that. Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to Tuesday, tomorrow, big game, big bounce back game against St. Francis, who's a quality opponent. Not like, you know,
it's a big game, but it's the next game. It's the next one on our schedule.
Yep. And then Friday versus Kent State. So some good games coming up, opportunities for guys to get playing time, opportunities for guys. Really quickly, Casey Marcel, how's he doing?
He's doing okay. He's, Casey's just got to stay positive in his thought process. He can beat himself up mentally when shots aren't falling, or, you know, there's a mistake or two, but, you know, he's just got to stay the course and he'll be fine. But we need him defensively because that's what he can do. And he gives us that on-ball physical toughness on ball.
I think
we probably should have played him a little more in the San Francisco game to maybe stop those guys from touching the paint. But again, it was, you know, we were just searching. So
yeah, and I think he's one of the guys that has the potential to be able to create a shot, right? Which he can do. I'd like to see it, and I'm not you guys, and I'm not at practice all day. And of course, every fan is a coach and can tell you guys what should be done. But he's a guy that if he can hit that pull up jump shot off the dribble, I think he's one of the best guys on the team that can do that.
He can get to a spot. He can get to a spot and pull up and yeah.
Well, we're all looking forward to tomorrow. I certainly am. And of course, having you back next Monday. Thanks for joining us in a tough situation. Not always good to come on when you lose, but we appreciate coming on win or lose.
Hey, I got to get ready for this. This is what it's like when Tony does his show after losses, but he doesn't, you know, over the years he hadn't had a whole lot of losses. So, you know, this is good. You got to face the fire. And I understand it comes with the territory.
Yep. All right. We were hoping YB was going to come back and exit us with some, with the one of the five Jay Willie theme songs. He seems to have gotten to something that it can't get back on. So coach, once again, thanks for hopping on your show.
And it's good. And I'm disappointed though in the NFL. I must say this, Mark, before I get off my show, that the NFL has to do something with these postponement of games. I wanted to see I bought my Steeler gear to Bubbaville. And maybe that's what happened. They threw off the good karma because we didn't play Thursday. We were supposed to play the Ravens. Then we pushed back to Sunday. Didn't play Sunday. We was going to play tomorrow. Now we can't play tomorrow. Let's talk about playing Wednesday. They got to fix this, man. I want to see my Steelers play.
Okay, coach.
if you know anybody up there in New York in those NFL offices, Mark, tell them they got to fix this.
I'm on it.
All right.
And I appreciate you going on your little Steelers rant. So you gave us a chance for YB to come back on.
Don't nobody care about your winning team, man. How you complaining right now about anything?
I just want to play, man. They stopping us from playing. Why?
So if they play Wednesday really quickly, if they play Wednesday, are they scheduled to play Sunday again?
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
how is that possible?
Okay, I don't know.
They'd have to move them to a Monday night or something.
I think that everybody's trying to do whatever they can, Jay Willie, to get some games in. Just like as a basketball coach, you understand that if you guys have some games that need to be adjusted in your schedule, You're going to be professional.
Listen, I need a break, and I need to watch my Steelers in between watching all of the basketball.
Try Netflix.
All right.
Trying some good documentaries.
All right.
YB, you ready to take us away?
Yes, sir.
Are we getting the J. Willie theme song, or are we going to get something else?
We're getting the theme song with a little addition to it.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, before I get started, again, I said this week, Wednesday, we're doing the All Virginia show, Virginia Artists. That's on at 7 o'clock, twitch.tv/DJYB. DJYB is DJWHYBE. Let's go.
Really?